cherishing friendships, let's first set up this particular topic. So you've probably heard that, you know, in the Greek there are three different forms of the word love. Eros is romantic, and I want. Agape, which we reference a great deal, is commitment, kind of an I will. And friendship, phileo, is an I like. And this topic is about the I like. All of them are important and would play well at a marriage conference. But this particular hour is reserved to the friendship. The I like is usually the first thing to go. And actually marriage therapists look for this. I'm going to quote a man by the name of Gottman, who's renowned in the area of marital therapy. And he is renowned because he's so good at knowing what marriages are in trouble. And he's got an eye on some of the elements that we're going to talk about tonight. So it is quite telling that there is something really to this. I mean, you might think about the other ones. I mean, there's some other things that just keep the other ones going, right? Eros, for example, hormones, right? Keep things going. Commitment or I will is just grit that keeps it going. What keeps an I like going? Furthermore, I might suggest that I can agape our enemies. And you can, right? You can I will it. You can't phileo an enemy. I'm not sure you can, right? A like, an appreciation, right? Do you see the specialness of what this one is, okay? So here might be the problem statement, okay? So these might be some of the elements that would give us an indicator that, something is amiss on this particular one. A feeling that your spouse isn't hearing you or doesn't want to understand is an indicator. It's a phileo problem, okay? Or an attitude of who cares? Or a feeling of being unable to please or meet the expectations of your spouse, kind of a why try? Why try anymore? A sense that your spouse is detached from you. A refusal to cope with what's really wrong, right? That's your problem, not mine. There's an indifference here, right? Apathy, unplugged. You know, just even those words give us a great deal of indication on what the solution's going to be, right? If unplugged is this, this is going to mean some plugging in, right? If apathy is this, this means some care is going to be required, right? The I like part, the friendship part, does come with effort. It has to be maintained, as all of them do, but this one does as well. So that might be the problem statement. I'm going to go to Genesis here, in the early Genesis chapter 2, and we're just going to read through this, a tremendous, tremendous account. There's so much to be learned, just even in the early scriptures, about how God created man and woman, and he brought us together in marriage. So we're going to read through this, but let me point out the arcing narrative. We're going to read at the beginning about God creation of relationship. I alluded to it in the presentation there, but God creates us for relationship, and then Adam understands his need. At some point in time, Adam kind of wakes up and says, I need this. And then there's the creation of woman, and then Adam understands her enough to name her carefully, and then there is marriage, and then follow that with a no-shame relationship. So that's kind of the arching narrative that we're going to see. So let's read through that and notice these kind of areas. And the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And so we see this arching narrative that there was a relationship. God knew that we needed this relationship. It took a while for Adam to realize it after naming all the animals and realizing that he was without and that he needed one also. But I love this, that Adam came to understand her very well. I mean, he just got done naming all the animals. Adam was a pretty observant person, right? I mean, think about the job that Adam had. He's like, okay, now this one I'm going to call this, and that one kind of looked like the other one. And you know, then the platypus comes waddling down, and he's like, what am I going to call this thing? And with every single one, he was, I don't think he named them A, B, C, D, E, and double A, double B, double C, right? He had thoughtful names, and then when Eve was brought to him, he's pretty well practiced in being thoughtful. Pretty well practice in inspection, pretty well practice in meaning, pretty well practice in knowing this. You see, what we have here is a connection. Adam connects with Eve. Then there is a knowing. Adam knows her. She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She's going to be called woman. Thoughtful name. He knew her. He connects, he knows. And then they are brought into marriage or a caring relationship. We're going to follow that same pattern. I'm going to suggest that friendship follows a similar pattern. The pattern is connect, know, and care. And so throughout these, we're going to touch on those. Here's John Gottman. I had mentioned him before. This is a quote from him. "Happy marriages are based on deep friendship. By this I mean a mutual respect for and enjoyment of each other's company. These couples tend to know each other intimately. They are well versed in each other's likes, dislikes, personality quirks, hopes, and dreams. They have an abiding regard for each other and express this fondness, not just in big ways, but in little ways, day in and day out." It gives you a little bit of an insight into what he looks at when he's looking at a marriage and he's able to understand its health. Deep friendship is a part of what he would look for. Now, that's not surprising, right? It's not surprising because God built in to the need of Adam a helpmate and vice versa. And so this need for companionship and relationship, and it's really modeled in God himself. God is in a like relationship, he's in an I will relationship, and he's in an intimate relationship with the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all beyond us. We can't get our mind around it. But he's in they like each other. And that's what marriage does as well. When we like and we find that friendship. But sometimes that friendship needs to be worked on, needs to blossom, right? It's almost a kind of Christ rebuke to the Ephesian church. Man, you guys are knocking it out of the park, right? Knocking it out of the park. I mean, you're calling right, right, and calling wrong, wrong, and you're not letting so-and-so do this, and he shouldn't, and you're doing this and all of that, but where's the first love? Sounded like they had a ton of commitment, right? But where's the first love? Where was it when we first engaged, right? And sometimes that is, right? In our engagement, our young, in our early years of marriage, right? And then we kind of lose track of one another. We would like to revive that. We would like this session to be about reviving that, right? And encouraging it, because I'm sure it's going on, okay? So building companionship, we're going to look at connect, know, and care. We're just going to go through each one of those and provide a little bit of support around them. So we're turning towards our spouse is a good way to think about connection. There is a basic need to be connected. You know, I think there's nothing, there's no better illustrator of that right now than everybody's phones. You walk into every building and it starts to grind. It's like, I need to be connected. Where's the Wi-Fi? There's no Wi-Fi. I guess I'm going to that tower over there, right? Your phones are like, your phones want connection. Did you know in the soul of mankind, that's what's happening? Every human starts to search for connection. Now that gives us a great deal of insight, right, into the marital relationship. Your heart is tuned that way. Your spouse's heart is tuned that way. And what this is talking about is making that connection. You're connected to one another. It also gives us a stern warning, right, that we're on the search for a connection. Now, this is a lesson for marriage. This does not put singles in an impossible place, right? Because ultimately we have a connection with Christ. And that is what God has put in our hearts, a desire for connection. But for tonight, for this weekend, we're looking at marriage here. So there's a basic need for all of us to be connected. I think maybe COVID has taught the world this question. Isolation, not so good, right? There's a basic need to be known. And so what we want to be is a student of our spouse. I want to know my spouse. I want to be a student of my spouse. And I never conquer. I know it all about my spouse. Because my spouse is dynamic. My spouse is changing. My spouse is growing. And so that is something that we grow in, right? So there's a basic need to be known. And then share an affection, so the care part, share affection and appreciation for your spouse. There's a basic need to be cared for, right? So all of these are important, okay? Being connected is not enough, although we need it desperately. We want to be connected and known. But just being known is not enough. I mean, where does that leave us without being cared for? Connect, know, and care. So that will be our module, I guess, as we look through the activities and some things here. So let's look at the first one. We're going to start up here with connect, okay? And let's look at this concept of connect. What does that look like, that searching, that roaming, right, that every device does and is searching for a connection? And this looks like turning towards. It's built right into our spiritual frame. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, right? We have and we know that we are meant to connect. It's the way God created us. He has given us this in marriage as well. So bids, okay? Bids are a great way to make a connection, okay? Bids are simply reaching out for connection with your spouse in big and small ways, but mostly the small ways. It's simply saying, you know, pay attention to what I'm saying. You extend a bid when you ask a question. You extend a bid when you make a comment. And your spouse responds to that bid by acknowledging that comment or acknowledging that question. That's it. That's all it is. An ignored bid is worse than an agitated bid. I'll give you an example. So the husband's sitting in the chair reading the newspaper. Who does that anymore? But anyway, picture it. Reading the newspaper. And his wife walks through and says, you know, I saw Sally in the store on Tuesday, and walks out of the room and ignores the bid. Okay, that is worse than she walking through saying, you know, I saw Sally in the store on Tuesday, and him lowering the paper saying, it was Wednesday, right? It was Wednesday you saw her. He at least acknowledged the bid in the second one. That would be of more importance, better than ignoring the bid. This ignoring of one another is more poisonous than actual argumentation. You know, if you go to Caleb because you're arguing all the time, he's not going to be as desperate than if you're ignoring each other all the time. Does that make sense? Ignoring bids is a warning sign. So respond to simple requests. Is a great way to acknowledge a bid. I think it's the last sheet on your packet there. One way I really like to think about bids is they take us from a me world to a we world. Does that make sense? It goes from me to we as soon as you connect with a bid. Because all of a sudden, that boring thing that she was saying about meeting somebody in the store, like, I really don't care, all of a sudden, it goes from her world to now a we world. Like that interaction with Susie in the store, yeah, tell me about it. Now all of a sudden, it's we. Does that make sense? And we need to get into a we world as often as we can. So here are some excellent prompts. This is the last page. It says, turning towards. Bids take many forms. And here are some prompts. Okay, here are some prompts. I really like some of these. On different, some different ways. Showing interest, sharing interest together is a great way. You know, you can fill in the blank. I think blank is cool too. Right? Notice how you go to a we world as soon as you show the similar interest. Right? Your spouse brings home, you know, plant some pansies in the front stoop there. I like pansies too, hon. You just did it. You just made it a wee moment. Does that make sense? The pansies were not all about her. It wasn't just her. It was a wee thing. You just made it wee. Share amusement. I found blank to be humorous today. We're going to talk about humor in a little bit. Share activities. Want to do blank with me? Right? And again, these aren't big and lofty things. That's the great thing, right? And they find this over and over and over again. It's not the lavish vacations that keep people together, you know. Don't you know? It's we world stuff. Okay? These lavish vacations might have everything to do with the me world, right? But acknowledging the pansies and saying, I like those too, is nothing but we. So that is like really, really good news for all of us, right? That successful marriages don't require a dime. Share a cause. I agree that that's important too. Now you have to, once you start listening for these things, you hear them. Oh, that's important to her. Yeah, that's important to me as well. Share history. Remember when such and such. It's a great way to remind that we are in a we world, is when you remember, honey, do you remember? I don't know what your dinner time routines are, and if you got kids, sometimes you kind of have a little routine, you got questions to ask you. It could be, you could just add, what's it, a memory, a family memory, you know what I mean? And you can't talk about family memories without acknowledging a we life. This is us. It's a bid. Sharing ownership. What are we going to do about the... I'm really convicted. I have no opinion about the colors of anything. I don't have much of an opinion about the carpet and the floor. But she's asking me. Do you see how I make it a her world when she's asking for a we world? Tough it out. Go to Lowe's. Nothing makes my knees more weak than going into a furniture store. Actually, I really honestly think that a furniture store makes me tired. But are we in a we world or not? Does that make sense? This is our house. So, I'm going to try to have an opinion. I don't know, choose your own opinion there. Sharing hurts, right? Sharing joy, sharing prayer. Anyway, you can read the rest, but those are all just ideas. Ideas on where bids come from. And they come in all kinds of places, right? They come in all kinds of places. Okay, let's look at... another one here is laugh. You know, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Laughter is a great connector. Actually, I think Caleb's going to talk a little bit about laughter tomorrow. Laughter is terrific. Okay, laughter is terrific. And here's proof in point. Laughter is communal. Who likes to laugh alone? How long do you yuck it up by yourself?
I do it.
Do you? Wow, that's awesome. My life would be so much more fun if I found myself funny. How many times have you heard a joke and you're like, I can't wait to tell somebody that? Isn't that natural? See, laughter is classic we living. It's a we life. We don't really care to do that all by ourselves in a me world. They've done a little bit of study. Actually, laughter is a hard nut to crack. They have done some studies on it, but I was kind of surprised to find that they haven't done a whole lot of studies on it. It's a bit of a mystery. Evidently, we're like the only species that laugh, even though they call it laughing hyena. I'm not sure they're laughing. But even the animal kingdom, they don't really get a sense that they laugh. This is something that is a part of us. What's that say about God? I think that's amazing. But he's built within us this faculty of laughter. I mean, just think about the actual activity is really kind of funny. You know, laughter is so common. You can be in across the world and you'll find the same things funny. It's like a common language as well. It's so built into a we world, and it's so therapeutic. So therapeutic. They have found, and I think Caleb's going to actually quote some statistics on how healthy it is to laugh. But honestly, we've got enough to cry about, don't we? And as spouses, we've got enough to cry about. Sometimes laughter is what we need to do. Here's what else they found. Women need to laugh more than guys. Women need to laugh more than guys. And you know what else they found? Guys are usually the instigators of laughter over women. So there's your take home. Your take home, guys, is make your woman laugh. Make her laugh. It's not all that bad of an assignment, prescription. All right, so I'll tell you a funny moment that I had this week, and I shared it with my wife, and we laughed about it. I was reading with my 15-year-old daughter, who is a convert, and we were reading through the gifts of the Spirit and the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. And we're going through the works of the flesh together, and the words are big. She doesn't understand what they mean. And so she's like, idolatry, what's that? And so idolatry, I explain idolatry. Sexual immorality, we go sexual immorality. And then she says, divisions. Oh, I know what that is, that's math. I'm actually a math teacher. Never has that been placed in the works of the flesh quite like that. But she was so delighted to know that math was the works of the flesh. It was fun. It was a fun moment. You know, we can let them go, we can pass them by, and we can refuse to share them on, or we can share them on. It's as easy to share them on, and it always helps. It always helps. So, laughter promotes bonding. Oh, I liked that. It actually bonds you. You have a good laugh with somebody, there's a bond there, right? I think we know that just through experience, right? We can really bond with people. It's a healthy brain exercise and increases tolerance for pain. You're able to endure more, and really that's to my point there, that you know what? We have to endure a lot. We have to endure a lot. Laughter is a tremendous medicine for that. This is all about connect. We talked about bids, and we talked about laughter, and there's more, right? We're turning towards our spouse. We're trying to make that connection. Our search is going. Okay, let's look at now being a student and knowing our spouse, okay? What's it look like to know our spouse? Knowing is huge. God wants to be known. Look at Hosea 4:1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. This was a big problem. People do not know God. This was his big beef with his people. You don't know me. You don't know me. He also says in Hosea, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. He wants people to know him. So we see here how much God elevates being known, and so it is with us. We're made in his image, don't you know? You all want to be known. We want to be known also. And your spouse is the one to know you, and you, your spouse. Know your spouse. These good questions. Do you know what stresses your spouse is facing right now? Could you describe in detail, right, what your spouse did yesterday? What is one of her or his great fears? What is one of his or her favorite ways to be soothed? There's some more questions. You'll find this in the, I think it's the second page. Just some questions, excellent questions. You know, even if you've been through this list, your spouse changes, and they change. But there's some excellent questions here. You can find great apps for these types of things. We've got a little book with questions like this, which is fun to ask around the table to get the family talking and the kids talking. But as you can look through here, some of these are fun, some of these are deep. Some of these might be painful. Some of these might be delightful. Some of these might be funny. Anyway, we're not going to go through those questions, but those are there for you to engage and to ask questions, to be a student of your spouse. Look at what this says. Look at what this says. When we do unplug and apathy, those words that were mentioned, when we unplug and apathy, what are we saying about our spouse? I got you figured out. I know. Don't even tell me. I know. You're simple. You're simple that way. When we esteem and honor them as a dynamic child of God, dynamic growing person, a dynamic person who has thoughts and is flexes and moves and is in motion and is current, now all of a sudden you don't know. And so we invest in them. We invest in knowing who they are. Okay? A couple with an eye-like relationship is always fascinated to learn about their spouse. All right? And I know as we get older, you know your spouse in incredible ways, right? And so there's certainly truth to that. There's truth to that. But never turn away from your spouse as if you got them all figured out. Know your spouse. Let's look at the care. Care now is sharing affection and appreciation. Solomon, Songs of Solomon 5:16. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. That distinction is made in a very Eros book of the Bible, right? But this important quality of friendship, of sharing affection, this is when we care. Again, notice where we've come from. We've connected with them. We've learned, known, and now we get to care for them in a friendship type of way. What is that? What might that look like? Any non-sexual touch, right, in a way that lavishes care is a great way to cherish, okay? Sexual touch is fine, but that's a different presentation. This one is on friendship. What does it look like to cherish your spouse? Touch is an important way to do that. Or use just because affection. Just because. I just do that. I don't know. No reason at all. That is what cherishing looks like. Taking your spouse's side. You know, some of these types of things, this is the type of thing you do with a friend, right? You behave this way with a friend. You take their side. You're quick to defend them, right? You know, your spouse comes home and says, man, the boss was so upset with me for being 5 minutes late. Hey, you got a choice. You can either connect with their frustration and have a delightful evening. Or you can say, yep, that's what happens when you're 5 minutes late. I would have done the same thing. And then you can have an awful evening, right? The point of the matter is, and I'm not saying that there's not time for good, constructive, helpful thoughts and sentiments, but the point is often we don't treat our spouses like friends, right? It's like, oh man, that's a bummer, isn't it? I hate it when I'm late too. Often people treat their friends better than they treat their spouse. And to prize your spouse as your best friend is a tremendous way to cherish them. It's a tremendous way to honor them. In a way saying, you're my favorite. You're my favorite I like in the world, right? And so there's a page there that kind of speaks to some of these, a great list for those of us who need a little help, who need a little help on just words. I like lists of words. Consider the positive personality adjectives below. This is a robust list of positive adjectives. Circle the words that fit your spouse. This could be an activity where you go through and circle words that fit your spouse. Personally reflect on the positive attribute. Thank God for this attribute. Show appreciation for your spouse for this attribute. Here's some great words in here. I mean, you might actually be called debonair or something like that, right? Sometimes we need a jump start, don't we? We need a new phrase. We need a new word. We need something to jump start the care that we have, okay? So that's where we've come. A way to share appreciation. I'm proud of the way you such and such. I'm attracted to your this. I'm impressed that you that. I like how you do this other thing. You are affirming, you are showing and sharing that appreciation for your spouse. All of this bundled up is what we mean by friendship and by the cherish that comes from connecting, from knowing, and caring. Okay? Thank you. You've been a great audience.